Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
The following is a presentation of Morning Drive Media.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Force Center podcast feed. I'm Ken Napsok for another edition of Force Center, the big show, the main show, the superstar destroyer of our fleet, the Java sail barge of our party, and the bright tree village of our Endor. We are here today. It is Thanksgiving week. Holidays are here. It's been a tough year. It's time to gather with the ones you love and show thanks. And I love these two people, my regular compadres on this journey, Joseph Scrimshaw, Jennifer Landa. Welcome.
It is nice to be here and be all thankful with you.
Oh, it is.
Yum nub.
Jennifer and her Ewoks are here.
Yes.
As always, I'm thankful for you guys, but I'm also thankful that we have a wide collection of good friends who like to talk about Star Wars, and we are welcoming in a new friend to our midst here on Force Center. It is Nerd Soul, Michael Young. Welcome.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's great to be here.
Now, you might have
doing my thing.
Recognize this man from his appearances on Jedi Alliance with our friends John Rocha, Mark Donica.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a lot of Jedi Alliance legacy at this table, so
yeah,
we're happy
especially
to have
the charter member, the founder, the
co-founder with the wonderful Maude Garrett, of course. But you guys are doing great stuff over there with that show, and I know it's been on a little hiatus. November as you rework it.
Yeah.
Good things coming?
Yes, at good. Least I can't really talk about them.
Sure.
But yes, most likely a new day and time. I know I can say that.
Yeah.
And some new live show tricks.
Okay.
I like live show.
It's going to be an all cooking show, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Star Wars cooking, starting with chicken stars from Burger King.
Nice.
Love it. Well, we've brought in a good gaggle of people here to show some thanks for Star Wars, which is what we're going to do. I'm saying work. I'm drinking a little bit too much of that Thanksgiving whiskey already. But no, we're going to show some thankfulness for Star Wars. And Joseph, we're going to be simple and to the point.
Yeah.
This is the things we're most thankful for in Star Wars.
Yeah, which it was a fascinating thought experiment to me, because we decided that we'd all come up with about five.
Yeah. Mm.
And usually we list things, and it's often just like, what I like the most. But thankful is an interesting choice to me.
Yes. Hmm. Yes.
To be like, it's different. To what you're thankful for is different than, Yoda's my favorite character. Because right. Favorite is different than thankful.
Right. Mm. Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. Right? Right? Michael, may I call you Michael?
Sure,
or do
sure.
I say Nerd Soul?
Either one. It's so fluid. Everyone uses.
I feel Nerd Soul is like your G.I. Joe code name.
Yeah. That could work.
What is your favorite Star Wars character?
My favorite Star Wars character is Thrawn.
Interesting.
Yes, Thrawn is my favorite character.
Why?
Just the chess playing, mm-hmm. Just the smarts. He doesn't have to be the villain where he has to, like, know kung fu or, you know, shoot people really well. It's all mind games. He's like the tactician. He's played this game and setting up the board for the next one while you're just getting your pawn out of the first square. You know, he's just extremely smart.
It's such a great character, an interesting character, and I think they're doing a great job in bringing it back. But I don't hear that as a favorite character, so that's different. I like it.
Yeah.
I like that.
He's the man.
Yeah. Did you come to him young? Did you read the books when you were young?
I got into the audiobook, I believe, like last year.
Oh, cool. Okay.
And I think, like, John Campia was talking about it or something. Yeah. So I was like, let me go in and read this audiobook. And the funny thing is, whoever does the voice for Lando in that is hilarious. it's like they went to the 70s and got the most 70s acting voice they could find. But it was still a great book, and I just loved the way Thrawn came across.
Yeah.
And after that, he was just my favorite character.
I love it, and I'm so curious to see what that new book will bring.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. Yes.
Retcon and refix some things about Thrawn or reintroduce him in a new way. Anyways, I just wanted to ask that, Michael, because we wanted to get a sense of who you are as a Star Wars fan, and we know you're an evil tactician.
Well, I'm still a Jedi, but...
Okay, but you respect the enemy.
I respect the...
Which is kind of what Thrawn would do anyways.
Yeah.
But that could just be a mind game that you're playing with us.
Ah.
Thrawn-like.
A little manipulative, you know.
So, with that, I think, Joseph, we should start diving into what we're thankful for.
Yeah.
So, Jennifer, do you want to start?
Sure.
Do you want to... Should we just go down each other's lists, or just one at a time? How would you think?
Yeah, what do you think?
Let's format on air, Joseph.
Yeah, let's format. I think this was a discussion you and I and our whiskey should have had before we hit record.
Yes.
And yet, this is why you come to Force Center, for the honesty.
Yeah.
We're the opposite of Obi-Wan Kenobi. We're always almost too honest with you.
Yeah.
Let's just go down the list. So let's hear all of Jennifer's.
I like that.
Because then we'll know ahead of time if we have duplicates.
Right.
We can address them at the same time.
Do we want to dissect them or just list it first and then we'll...
Just start listing and explaining.
All
I like
right.
that.
Yeah. All right. Let me dive in with I am thankful for Frank Oz and all the puppeteers of Star Wars. For me, as a kid, what made Star Wars so magical were these puppets because they were real.
Yeah.
And Frank Oz specifically, how he brought this character that could have been such a huge failure, this green Muppet, essentially.
Yeah. Right.
And he gave it this wisdom and life and history that was so powerful for me as a kid. And then I just think about all the other puppeteers, you know, the people in Jabba, the six people that it took to operate Jabba and his tail, and of course Salacious B. Crumb, and I'm just so thankful for them.
Sally B. They're the guy in the tail, backwards and forwards. Ever see that documentary? That's one of my things I remember.
I think Frank Oz deserves so much credit for making all of Yoda's emotions work.
Mm-hmm.
But the moment of terror when he has the, you will be,
you will be.
yeah. Like, I remember being as a kid, like, I know it's a puppet, but I'm so scared.
I was scared too. Yeah.
He was real to me. Like, he wasn't even a puppet to me. Like, he was real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, yeah. When you're young, you're right, Jennifer. That's what's so important about it.
Yeah.
We all bought into it.
Like, right. I was like, Yoda is this alien guy who's mm-hmm. old and he steals food but he's super smart too, he's wise
and his ears do a little bounce when he shakes.
My gosh. I mean, and just as like the idea of puppeteering and also acting as at the same time, it's like this real dance to be mm-hmm. able to do that well. So kudos to them. The second one is John Williams.
There is
no one mm-hmm. like him, and he really I think about as a modern composer, he uses something called leitmotifs, which is basically, you know, this idea of a short recurring musical phrase. And he turned that into, you know, the Imperial March, mm-hmm. to the Jedi theme, all these iconic themes that you can just play it and you go, ah, Darth Vader. Oh, this, you know, takes me back to Han and Leia and mm-hmm. their love for each other. So for me, John Williams, I will be so, I'm celebrating his life now, but I will be so sad when he leaves us.
Yeah.
You know?
Never.
Never.
He'll never leave.
No.
Never, never.
That's such a cool point about the leitmotif, because whether it was his intention or not, it also makes it so powerful to be able to hear 10 seconds
and you know.
Of something and have the entire emotional reaction mm-hmm. in 10 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Love
it's
John
just
Williams.
Driven home that he's still so strong with Rey's theme and what he did with Force Awakens.
Oh, yeah.
Which, again, I feel bad. I initially walked away saying, that wasn't as good as the other ones. I was stupid.
It's magical.
It's magical. The Jedi Steps, that theme.
Perhaps up there, as I've said before, one of my favorite all of music.
Yeah. Well, going along that line, the Force for me. I am so thankful. Mm. Again, as a child, like the mysticism of the Force was really, it was powerful, knowing that like you could harness something that, you know, that bound the galaxy together, but it could also give you power.
Yeah.
And what you chose to do with that power, did you want to use it for, you know, for good? Or?
Right.
And so as a kid, I was like, oh, I love this. If I could just be more like a Jedi, especially in high school when I was going through tough times, I'm like, I just need to be more like a Jedi and just deflect, be calm. So easier said than done. So, yeah.
Do you have a specific memory of a time that you used your Jedi power to make something more positive?
I think like in high school is this notion of not giving into your anger and hate, you know, but really it's becoming almost more Zen-like, being more like a Buddhist.
Yeah.
And really kind of just like accepting things, mm-hmm. not showing too much emotion.
Okay.
As very difficult as a teenager, but I did try it and I felt very good. Of course, I lapsed back into my emotional self later on.
Your rage.
Yeah. All right. But I love
it. So you stayed out of vicious fisticuffs in high school.
You know me, always ready to throw down.
Well, that's funny because you actually did a great job at it. When I was younger, I just tried to be wise for the sake of being wise, because Jedi were wise. I was probably just saying like a whole bunch of like corny things to like my mom and my brother, like trying to be like a Jedi, just walking around like I'm above it all.
I have no attachment to this, to my homework, Mom.
You must unlearn what you have learned about making that dish.
Yeah. I had listed the Force as a possible option simply because I was thankful that as a kid I constantly believed it could be a thing that I could actually achieve, meaning force powers or something like that.
I still try it every now and then.
Right? But the actual stuff, like sometimes you're like, as a kid, I was like, oh, gosh, if I could only make that toy come over to me. I loved it as a kid. I got myself lost in this world, fantasy mm-hmm. world of it.
Me too. So along those lines, the message of hope throughout Star Wars, growing up, that was very powerful. You know, size matters not. Mm-hmm. All these things. And even now, mm-hmm. well, I'll tell you, mm-hmm. when watching the new Rogue One trailer,
sure.
rebellions are built on hope. That brings a whole new meaning for me. And I think it's going to be when I watch it in theaters in December. With not to get political, but you know, everything that's been going on. So, the message of hope has been very powerful for me. And I'm very thankful for it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Something to grab onto.
Mm-hmm.
And it hasn't been, I know that we have gone back and forth about the trailer and how much they just make that idea explicit. by having the characters say it. Because, like, the theme has always been there.
Right.
Yeah.
But it is interesting to see how it's going to play out to be explicit.
Yes.
Like, that the characters are really, really conscious of this big theme.
Right.
Absolutely.
I'm looking forward to it. And the last thing is the fan community.
Yeah.
I mean, really, like, I am so thankful for you guys. I am so thankful for all of the fans that I've encountered over the years. And I'm always amazed at how good and kind and generous Star Wars fans are on a whole.
Right.
You know, I mean, the things that we come together for these causes, I mean, it's pretty incredible. And so I can't imagine my life without it. Without you guys.
Aww.
It's true. It's true.
Yeah. You've already made our guest cry in a good way. I love it. So true. That's so powerful. We'll come back, I'm sure, to talk more about that. Mike, would you like to go next with your list?
Sure. I'm going to start my list off with someone, with a character, because I have a couple of characters in here, too. Someone that I hated the first time I saw her. Her name is Ahsoka Tano. When I first saw her, I was like, she is for kids.
Yeah.
She is to bring the kids in. I hate this. Mm-hmm. But now Ahsoka is probably one of my favorite Jedi.
Yeah.
Because we did get to see her grow.
Mm-hmm.
We did get to see her go through her emotional changes, becoming a Jedi. To a degree, master. She didn't really become a master, but I mean, she's kind of like a master in her own right.
Yeah.
But just everything she went through, her connection to the Clone Wars, and I know people might feel a certain way about the Clone Wars.
You were in a safe environment.
Yeah. When it comes to the Clone Super Wars. Safe here.
I think the prequels are like cool moments wrapped in bad movies. Like a whole bunch of cool things, but not pulled together well. But Ahsoka, just the way she became, like, I guess kind of like the example of what a Jedi should be.
Mm-hmm.
She followed the order, but she was also critical of the order as well. And it broke me when she left the order.
Yeah.
I understood why, and I would have just probably made the same decision, but it was just like, man, they really lost something.
Mm.
Like, I think Ahsoka just represented not just a youthful quality, but I guess, honest quality about the, you know, the Jedi, because I do think, you know, during the Clone Wars, they kind of lost their way, and I think Ahsoka kind of stayed in the pocket of being a Jedi, and she's someone I'm really thankful for.
Did you read that book yet?
You're talking about the title book?
Yeah.
No, I haven't read it yet,
all right.
But I've heard that people are liking it, so
it's great.
I'm interested in it.
Great. Yeah, it's great. Continues her journey for sure. And exactly the kind of stuff that you're talking about. It's really cool to go inside her head, you know, and really hear her.
And you and I share a similar Ahsoka journey. She's one of my favorite characters in Star Wars. And I started out too going, oh, this Snips thing's got to go. Which is, again, a lesson I try to remind myself with Ezra. We're not there yet. But that character's growing as well, too. So it's a similar path. But same thing.
Yeah.
Great.
So my next is Ewan McGregor.
It's a good one.
You've again come to a safe place.
He was probably one of the better parts of the prequels in general. The care that he brought to the character of Obi-Wan. And many times in the movies when I rewatch them, I can tell that he really cares. He really cares about his role. And he just made, he makes a lot of the prequels watchable. And especially when he goes on his kind of like detective route in the second film, Attack of the Clones. I really love. I'm like, man, this, we don't need this other half of the story that we're doing. I like the detective thing, him tracking down this bullet and then going to El Camino, not El Camino.
El Camino. He goes to Camino in an El Camino.
It's space El Camino. Yeah, but, it's great.
Just seeing the way he took the role seriously. And even now, he still has respect for the role.
Yeah.
And he's kind of like excited about possibly coming back. He better come back. Please, Disney, make that happen.
Yeah.
But I'm very thankful for him because due to the other actors that we had, it could have been much worse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It could have been much worse. And I think he saves a lot of it for me.
Yeah, I love the story of him actually helping other actors, too, because it's just such an actor thing. Like, you need to know where you're coming from, and it seems like some of the other actors were so frustrated with George, like, that they're not going to put in their own work to figure out where they're coming from. And I love what you're saying. I think it shows that Ewan McGregor is like, I have no direction, but I've decided that this is what the scene is going to be about, and I'm going to show it. And I love the story, I don't know if you've heard it, of him helping Daniel Logan, who is playing Boba Fett.
Oh, yeah.
And George Lucas was like, oh, you should be mad at Obi-Wan Kenobi when he comes to the door of your house on Kamino, or El Camino. And Daniel Logan didn't know what to do, so Ewan McGregor allegedly bent over and was like, you should look at me like I just farted. Right. And then we got that great shot of him just kind of looking up at him like, what are you doing here? He almost gives him a little look up and down like, I don't want you here. And it's not anger. It's just like
this weird little scoff that he gives.
Weird little scoff. And it's like, thanks, Ewan McGregor.
He's the man. He's the man.
I love that.
Next up, of course, is Thrawn. Thankful for Thrawn at a time because I kind of got onto Thrawn a little bit before Force Awakens because it was like sometime like early last year. So, you know, Force Awakens wasn't out yet and all of that good stuff. And it was kind of like a great way, the Thrawn trilogy, to kind of get back into Star Wars because the audiobook, it has the sounds and everything. Yeah. Audiobooks are great. Like, I don't know why I was not up on audiobooks before. Like, it's like amazing. It's like top quality, like I guess old school radio.
You know, a radio play. Exactly.
But just having a formidable villain. I think something's been lost for having like long term villains. And this, I mean, I guess, you know, network TV or however, I think long term villains have been scaled back a lot in our pop culture. And I think, you know, they mean something and we need them because they're kind of, I mean, of course, not forever because they have to lose sooner or later. But, you know, but, you know, the kind of one movie and done villain, I wish we could come back to have like someone who was around for like two seasons or someone was around for three movies or something like that, you know. And I think Star Wars usually does that very well. And with Thrawn, he was just perfect for me. And side note, I'm hoping that we get to see Thrawn meet Vader just in a scene together, just them talk. I'd like to see how they interact.
It'd be a fantasy booking scenario type thing where it's like, wow, these two guys get in a ring together. Like, we never would see Hogan versus Ric Flair in the 80s. And it would be kind of like that.
Like just kind of like, you know, to see how they act around each other, I think that would be cool.
I think we could get a sequel to Rogue One that's just all of Vader's business meetings. They love business meeting scenes with Vader. And you can meet with all of the Imperials.
My favorite thing, too. Krennic, get in here.
Yeah. It's like, you messed up again? Choke time.
Choke time with Darth Vader. Great.
So next up on the list is another cool Jedi. Probably one of my favorite Jedi besides Ahsoka, Quinlan Vos.
Yeah.
He's cool.
Love it.
You know, fly by the seat of his pants, very, you know, just active, adventurous. The opposite of, like, Kenobi. Yeah. Even though Kenobi's cool, like, Quinlan Vos is just, like, cool. Like, he drives, like, the red Corvette.
Two shades of cool. Yeah.
He drives the red Corvette with the top down. You know, everybody wants to hang
hair
with him.
Hair in the wind.
Hair in the wind. You know, he's like, you know, he'll just figure it out when he gets there. He's that just guy. And, like, when I got I guess onto his kind of vibe in the Clone Wars animated series, I was like, this guy is cool.
Yeah.
I like to see more of this guy.
like Kenobi would like take you out for a nice dinner and he'd get you home on time and it'd be really special and nice. And Quinlan Vos, you're like, I woke up in Vegas. I did not expect that out of you.
It's like at first we went to see a movie, but then we went to Vegas and I don't know what happened.
We ended up here. Yeah.
And then, of course, the Dark Disciple book made me a bigger fan of him. Just kind of seeing him, you know, leave, come back, fall in love, all of these things. I guess if you haven't read the book, sorry.
That's
spoilers. But Quinlan Vos is just like, he's kind of like, you know, he rips and runs, and I guess we haven't seen that type of Jedi before.
Yes.
Because all of the Jedi were always stoic, and they had, you know, this, I guess, kind of like quality about, you know, their, you know, straight arrow kind of guy.
He had some passion.
Yeah. And then lastly is TNT. And this is why. When I was younger, I saw Star Wars on TNT for the very first time. And TNT used to rerun Star Wars like all the time.
I thought it was an Ewok I hadn't heard of for just a second when you said TNT. Like, I was like, done with you.
Explosive that took apart.
It's like back then, like for anyone who's younger than like, I guess 25, TNT, TBS, USA were like the original Netflix.
Right.
And like they would play movies like all the time, like, you know, Back to the Future and all that, like E.T., they would play that stuff all the time.
Right.
And TNT would play, you know, Star Wars at least like 2-3 times a week.
I do remember that.
And I got to see it all the time. And it was just, it was weird how they played. Sometimes they would play it out of order.
Yes.
But just being able to see Star Wars, you know, just any random time, just turning on the TV during the summer, it was great.
It's so comforting.
Yeah.
Was it TNT? Who was recently doing the
Spike?
Spike was doing the marathon, right?
Yeah.
Where you just turn it on, and you just get some Star Wars.
And awesome.
I had made no plans to watch anything, and all of a sudden, oh, isn't that on? I was just doing some housework, and then you just keep it on the whole day, and it's comforting.
Yeah.
It's just there for you.
Because you just like stop for about 5-10 minutes, like, oh, this is the part.
Yeah.
Watch your favorite moment. Yeah.
I put down my laundry. And be like, oh, I want to see this part. Yeah.
Right.
You have that thing where like your love of one thing transfers to another thing, like the TNT bumpers that they played at the time. Probably if you saw them, you'd be like, yeah, Star Wars. Even though it has nothing to do with Star Wars, but you just associate it with it.
Yeah. So that's something that I don't think people probably get a lot of now, even though they did make that deal for, I think TNT made the deal, or someone made a deal to get the, you know, the TV rights back or whatever.
Yeah.
Right. So maybe some other little kid that's like 8 or 9 can see it for the first time, just randomly rerunning.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's, I'd have to say the TNT for bringing me into the fold.
That's great.
It's a very good list to be thankful for. Joseph?
Yeah. I give it a lot of thought to think about like the thankful thing of what's made the deepest impact on my like actual life. And the first thing that jumped to me was action figures.
So much
like the movie would have just been a thing that I saw and I thought about, and I could look at the books and I could look at the pictures, but the action figures is what made it a part of my life daily from the time I was pretty much aware of existence. Because not only can you act it out, but I spent so much time thinking about, how can I get that one? What can I do to get money to get that one? Will that one be available? Just, you know, I've gone on about it before on Four Center about all the different life lessons I've learned playing with those action figures.
It's like as if Kenner taught you what to budget your allowance.
He did.
Of saving goals.
This is a true story. In fourth grade, we were going to have a math class that taught us how to budget, and I had a little allowance from doing chores, and I got real uppity about it because, like, I already know how to budget because I know how many I have to wait until they're 2-for-1 at Kmart.
Yeah. And then, I bought 5 toys, okay?
I've got exactly what I can afford. And then even growing up, when the Power of the Force was out in the late 90s, that got me through like some, I look back and it's some rough times.
Yeah.
And now I remember them positively because I got through the rough times by thinking about which action figure am I going to get?
Right.
What's going to be available?
That's a great thing.
And then my next one is similar to a lot of the ones that Jennifer picked. I picked Ben Burtt.
This is a great one.
Oh, okay.
I love this.
Because I think there is, we talk a lot about George Lucas had the ideas, but it was all these other people who really pulled the package together to make it sing.
Yeah.
Marshall Lucas in the editing, John Williams in the music. But Ben Burtt, like, he created these sounds that could have been generic.
Yeah.
It could have been generic laser sounds. And I don't think kids everywhere would be as excited to pretend they have a lightsaber if it wasn't for Ben Burtt.
Right.
Absolutely.
And even probably above the, well, the lightsaber sound is just iconic, but for me, that TIE fighter scream, man.
That's right.
That TIE fighter scream.
Right.
It's, you gotta, those sounds, everything came together perfectly for this.
Yeah.
For Star Wars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The sounds were such a big part of making it feel like a relatable world, but a different world.
Yeah. Right.
That everything had its own iconic sound, and it was what you would expect it to be, but so unique.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think of the Ewoks and how he recorded these different people.
Yeah,
as you should.
Oh, my mind just goes there. And and even like creating the language of Huttese.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing why it also sounds so familiar, like you're saying, but it also sounds so different than what we are used to.
Yeah, and I'm just kind of thankful. And then he did, I think, people don't give him credit credit for the amount of editing work that he did on the prequels.
Uh-huh.
And I think there's a lot of great editing moments in the prequels, and he put together a lot of the chases and basically did, you know, a lot of the directing.
It is him that is going, showing the scene where they are in Riccoli's ship and they're moving, they're editing and moving the pieces around, right? I think it's
yeah.
in the documentary.
Yeah, and he did a lot of the animatics, you
yeah.
know, so
yeah,
so that you so that before they even committed, so like he did yeah. a ton of work on like the pod race to be like, I think it should be like this.
And yeah,
like, yeah. So you know, some people don't like those things, but he did. He put
the
a ton race, of work into it.
Pod race is amazing. It's a little long, but. The scene is a little long, but the sound is incredible.
Right.
And the video game was sweet, too. I had a Dreamcast. The video game was sweet, too.
You're absolutely right. The sound and the sound, that goes to, he created this galaxy.
Yeah.
The sound.
Just another weird dude who did an amazing thing and affected us all. My next one is the Clone Wars animated series.
Gotcha.
Because I was trying to get around to, I don't want to say I'm thankful for the prequels. We talk about the prequels a lot. We have different, sometimes we call ourselves prequel defenders. Sometimes people have called us prequel apologists. Seems like an insult. But
we have the new term I unveiled on Jedi Council, which is prequelists.
That is a great term, and I'm so thankful that you invented it.
Yeah. I'm sure it's been used elsewhere, but I
know. It's nice and mysterious if it's,
yeah.
What does that mean, a prequelist? So, I'm very thankful for the prequels. I love them. I'm so happy that they exist. I see all the flaws with them. Clone Wars animated series made it so there are the prequel movies, and there's the prequel era.
Yes.
Yeah. And I have nothing against the prequel era. I love all of the characters. I love all the stories. I love all the ideas. And because the Clone Wars animated series exists, there's a little bit of a distinction between just the movies and the era. And there's, I just think there's so much in that storytelling to love, and so much is being used in all of the new canon that's building on all of the stories we got to see.
That's a great way to look at it.
Yeah.
The era.
Yeah. Something that really struck me was they did this special screening with Dave Filoni, the Clone Wars. It was the Dathomir Night Sisters arc Savage Opress.
Oh,
and
yes.
they did a little screening, and afterwards they had this Q&A with all these kids. They were like 6, 7, 8 years old. These kids knew more about Star Wars than anyone it was amazing how excited they were about the Clone Wars series. And that's when I went, wow, this is
they
touching.
They showed that to 6-year-olds?
Like, it was a little dark. I remember I was like, this is awesome.
Scary.
Oh my gosh, there's young children. But I think that was a dark arc in the midst of like some other great things. Mm-hmm. And these kids were so engrossed with it. And to me, it was like, this is the new era of Star Wars. And it was a great way to reach out to that young fan base.
Yeah.
Was that series.
Yeah. And I think when people criticize George Lucas, you can point to that and go like, but look at how much fun, fascinating, weird stuff he still had in his brain, where he would just like get up and go have a meeting with Dave Filoni. He's like, I'll do this. Like, wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And speaking of the Clone Wars and putting the sound together, the sound of the droid decars or whatever, the lasers, whatever weird sound it is, I love that sound too.
Right, it's scary. Like there's a high, like it sounds like something's being punctured, like the air is being ripped apart by it, and it scares you.
But very, very cool. Very cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So my next one is a character one, but I want to be a little bit more specific. I was thinking about the Force and the themes, and so I picked a thing to be thankful for is Luke Skywalker, specifically in Return of the Jedi.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yes.
Because I think that, I mean, not only does the original
got some
trilogy...
Got fist pumping in the room now.
Yeah.
Fist pumping thankful. That's as thankful as you should be always. Luke obviously has a great arc in the original trilogy, but not only the culmination of the arc in Return of the Jedi, but so many moments where the thing where you were talking about, Jennifer, of the first time we really got to see the way, a Jedi should be.
Yeah.
We got a lot of lectures from Yoda in Empire, but then in Return of the Jedi, we got to see Luke really struggling to walk the path. You get the fantasy of the power, and you get the respect of being very, very calm, and you come to that ultimate moment where he decides the best thing to do is not fight.
Mm-hmm.
In that wonderful, especially in the early 80s, where everything else in the movie was like, a sweaty man with huge muscles will kill an entire country for you.
Yeah.
And and instead it's like a rail-thin guy who used to be nothing wins by deciding not to fight. It's like so powerful.
He just wanted to get some power converters. And
and now that he ended up here. And I will say, I think my favorite moment in Return of the Jedi with Luke Skywalker is that just that little half second look that he gives his lightsaber before he ignites it when he catches it off the sail barge. My brother and I would watch that section again and again and again. And in particular, he spins up. It's so triumphant. Cool. He catches it. Most actors would just like, I caught the thing, so I ignite it and I go, right? And he takes it just half look to like, look a little pleased with himself.
Yeah.
Like, all right, let's go. It's just a millisecond, but it fills my heart with joy. And it just feels like at any time, like I'm doubting myself, like that, you're going to have that moment, though.
Yeah.
Where you do the big spin in the air and you catch the lightsaber and you have that look like, I got this. And on you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love that.
Love that.
Yeah, that's my favorite movie of the OT. Like, it's my favorite moment is when he gives himself up to Vader, and because it's just, he's arrived.
Yeah.
You know, and it's almost like, I'll give myself up.
Yeah.
I don't need to run from these guys.
Yeah.
And then him being like, you know, I realized that you were once Anakin Skywalker, my father, blah, blah, blah. And then seeing like Vader deal with kind of like, I failed my son. I failed everything. Like that, that's why that movie is my favorite for me. I watched that, I guess, 5 minutes or whatever, you know, when like that my father is truly dead.
Yeah.
It's a heavy sequence.
Sequence. Pitch perfect. Love it. Love it. And then my last one is our first repeat. Was going to be the podcasts and the shows and everything. I would say in specific, Ken and I have talked about this, but like this, getting to do things like Force Center and Jedi Alliance and all this stuff has like filled a really weird gap in my life where I have always thought about Star Wars a lot. I've had at different points in my life friends that I can talk to in depth about it. But then, you know, I'd go to conventions to perform, do comedy and all that, and everybody would be covered with Star Wars t-shirts, and like, that's great, I love Star Wars t-shirts. But there was this weird dry period where I couldn't get anyone to engage with me to go, like, super nerd deep and actually talk about things like, what's going on in Vader and Anakin's mind in that moment when Luke is standing up to him as his son, and people would just be like, I have these lightsaber chopsticks. And like, great. Love the lightsaber chopsticks. Love all the ephemera. But for me, like, I want to enjoy Star Wars at every level, from the surface down to the deepest. Yeah. And I get to go so deep with you guys.
Yeah.
And with the people who kindly listen to us and make it viable for us to continue doing this.
I remember those dark days of the early 90s. You know, whereas it was me and my friends, and that was about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and again, a lot of Star Wars fans out there, but the times have changed because nerd culture has taken over for sure. But,
and the internet has connected us.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, so now it doesn't have to just be like with me. It was the one kid that I knew on my block that would nerd out with me, because even though I played sports, the people that I played sports with, you know, most of the people that I played football with are not going to talk about X-Men, Star Wars, Star Trek, anything. You know, they're just not going to do it. So I had this one kid, we'd sit in the middle of the street and just talk about Star Wars and anything geeky. But now, with the internet, you can just find someone on Twitter and say, oh, you like this? So do I.
Right.
And so then, you know, amazing. Or argue about, you know, you know, whether Leia should have did this or not. Or
something. Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, yeah. Thanks, guys.
Aww.
I'm thankful.
Aww.
It's a great list.
It is a good list.
As always, you guys are doing great. This homework assignment's done really well. My list is similar as it would be with all of us, but I'll start with same thing. I start connection across many lines, and I don't just mean what might divide us in certain categories or boxes that you check. Just as humans to humans, I use the example when I went and saw John Williams, and I hate going to crowds. If I see movies, it's late on a Sunday night, I'm in the back row by myself. So to go see John Williams at the Hollywood Bowl actually triggers some anxiety. I'm not an anxiety-ridden person, but it's one of the things of like, am I going to sit next to people I don't like? Is my experience going
to
be ruined?
I still got to go to that. I've been out here for 5 hours.
It's amazing.
Yeah. And I think I told the story when I went, but there was a family behind me, and it was like very young kids, one in a Rey costume, one in a Kylo Ren, and they were hitting me in the head with a lightsaber and everything. And that could have been a bad situation.
Absolutely.
That could have been a, you're ruining my night, control your kids, all that kind of stuff. But because we were there for John Williams, but more specifically, let's be honest, his catalog stretches across a lot of things.
Yeah.
It was Star Wars, and it was a Star Wars heavy performance. I turned around and was able to have this conversation with first like a 4-year-old, and then his parents, who were younger than me, which is scary. And then the people around us, and then it just, you realize that we are connected by this thing, and it's this love of this stupid little silly space saga, right?
Yeah.
But it is like you said, Joseph, that to make those connections, how many times, Jennifer, you've got a nice Star Wars shirt on, how many times have you been walking around a Target or grocery shop and lost in your world, and someone goes, hey, nice t-shirt.
Oh, yeah.
And immediately, yeah. And it can be other fandoms, too. But with Star Wars, it is something big and powerful. Michael was someone I had seen you on Jedi Alliance, but I hadn't met you in person. We were going to L.A. Comic-Con the second day.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We were on the same train, the subway, we didn't know, coming up, and I was walking out, and he was a nice gentleman and kind of held the door open for me, and I went, hey, thanks, and he didn't, and all of a sudden he's like, hey, I recognize you, and I thought you were like a schmo fan, I get that, so hey, I'm here, and I was like, oh, you going to the panel? He's like, no, idiot, I'm the guy in Jedi Alliance, and I was like, oh. And so for the next few minutes, a man I've never met before, he and I just were able to go into a conversation about Star Wars.
Yeah.
And become friends over something simply as, you like green lightsabers? Like, you know, like, and that is what I think Star Wars does so well.
Yeah.
Connections across many lines. That's.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact. You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Said though, I have a Celio in here. Excellent. I am thankful for capes, cloaks, and masks.
Oh, that is a good one.
Yes.
All right. Mostly it's with the Empire, and it's a weird time to say identify with the Empire more, but I love order, and I love those crisp uniforms. It's a weird thing to say.
They love my moth. Do their laundry, right?
Yes. Yeah.
The Empire does its laundry.
But it's like going back, I'll be so embarrassing, going back to when I was 7 to now, I might have a towel on after shower, draw my hair, and the towel will fall to my shoulders, and I walk around thinking, ha ha, I'm a director of the Death Star, or I'm a Jedi, I'm Lando Calrissian walking around. And one of the best things about Kylo Ren, when we heard there was going to be, you know, there's going to be a bad guy, and you see the first design comes out, the first thing was, that's a cool mask.
Yeah.
I want that mask. Yes. And I have that coffee mug. I have all this Kylo Ren stuff simply because that mask.
Yeah, that mask is serious.
And Vader and Boba Fett and all those kind of stuff. So as it goes back to as a kid on the playground, it is those cool things that you want to wear.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm thinking of that promo shot of Lando where he is making cape magic. That's such that weird promo shot where he's got it mm-hmm. grasped in both hands, and he looks like he's running off to, he's got some business somewhere, but he's... Wow. Yeah.
I made up a hashtag Cape Game Strong for I can't even think of the actor's name now, but in Rogue One, who he's walking around and he's just the cape is floating on the water on the beach.
Credit.
Also that one shot when he's in the room by himself and he has like his pimp cane.
I'm like,
is prom smooth. Like, that is prom level smooth. Like, even outside of Star Wars, like, I'd wear that and be like, say something.
Can we start a hashtag in honor of Michael here? The hashtag Krennic is prom strong.
Yeah.
Can we do that? That's a great way to say it. Yeah, but that's a great thing. That's what I mean. It's like, that's what it means. Krennic, he's an administrator, really. He's a guy who's building this Death Star, but he looks villainous and cool and in control.
How boring would he be without a cape?
Can you imagine?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That is not even a joke.
He'd need a hat of some kind, and a cape's much better.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Next on my list, going back to the playgrounds and going to my childhood, Empire's my favorite, but Jedi was the first one I saw, and it is the end battle, the three-way battle in Jedi. I feel I'm cheating a little bit, this whole sequence, but I'm thankful for it because, number one, it's really cool. Hoth is maybe my favorite battle sequence as an adult, but as a kid... on the playgrounds, that was part of the thing we were reenacting. Yeah, we like jumping off into the Sarlacc pit, but and there's something just cool about this lightsaber battle with one of my favorite moments, which is the long shot as the chorus sings and Luke is fighting back against Vader. And then you're in the A-wings are taking down TIE interceptors and all these things, and then you're on Endor and you got all these things going at once, and it just captivated me as a kid and gave us so much room to play with on the playgrounds, which helped develop the love of Star Wars going on.
Yeah, nice.
I love that last sequence. In the same vein, the second last thing on my list is more recent, it's the ending of The Force Awakens.
Nice.
Simply because it was a brave choice, we've discussed before. Yes, as I mentioned in Star Wars Counseling Live at LA Comic Con, I'm disappointed we don't get Luke and Han and Luke, Han and Leia one last time. Yeah. We'll get Luke and Leia, I'm sure, again, but at least we hope. But it was a brave choice, but it was that journey. And it's not just about Rey anymore, but it's Rey's journey and what it meant. And I talked about Luke Skywalker. I thought he was a myth. And then, well, kid, you're the one that's going to be going finding Luke Skywalker. But every time I've seen Force Awakens now 14, 15 times is now something I just put on to watch in the background. I will stop, and I have to watch. You mentioned Jedi Steps, Jennifer. That is my favorite song from that. Rey's theme is great, but Williams really outdid himself because it so captures that last ending, and I could get emotional. I could probably get myself emotional talking about it, of that moment, of that lightsaber being handed to the man who needs to come save the galaxy or teach her to save the galaxy. We don't know. It's all of the above, and it is such a powerful moment and a brave moment because it's unlike anything we've seen in any of the movies.
Yeah.
Unlike anything.
Looking back at it, I'll be honest, I'm glad with the way the movie came out.
Yeah.
But remember how when they were fighting in the forest, Kylo Ren says, "Give that to me, that's mine."
Right.
When the lightsaber flies,
yeah.
If Luke caught that and said, "This is mine," I would have took off.
Right.
Cheering, stroke
like,
cheers.
Like, no, this is mine.
Yeah.
I'd have been done. I would have took off running. I'd have been like, yes. But, of course, you know, this is about Rey, the younger, you know, so we have to let that happen. But, man, every now and then I think, like, How would I have reacted?
Yeah, we've talked about it here that I am of the opinion that Abrams did that on purpose to make a lot of us hardcore people think it was going to Luke.
I thought it was.
So we had this great stew of emotions in that moment. Yeah.
Right.
And that's a great moment, which I think, again, pays off here at the end. And I love, I will watch Rey, Daisy Ridley, handing that lightsaber with tears in her eyes to Luke, who is not necessarily accepting it, or is, and is sighing, and is relieved, all these weird emotions in that face of Mark Hamill, who we grew up in a generation where Mark wasn't as good as an actor as the other ones, and maybe, but I also kind of disagree, because I think he did so much in that moment. Yeah. I love, and I'm so thankful for that ending of The Force Awakens. And the final thing, simple, going back to one for me, it is an epic saga to crawl into for inspiration of all sorts. You can mention the times right now. You can mention childhood. You can mention feeling alone as a nerd on a playground, and wanting, looking out to the suns, twin suns of a planet, and wanting more. Lucas, you know, will deny that Skywalker was him in Modesto, but you can't separate the fact that that was the guy. And then there's so many different things at different points in your life you can crawl into that Star Wars nerd bubble and find comfort and meaning in the story. And I think Rogue One just gained a whole lot of meaning. But there's also going to be other things in there you might pick from it. And it can be a wide berth of reactions from a wide berth of people to these stories. And it's Joseph Campbell myth. It's all those kind of things. But simple myth storytelling is why it works. And I'm so thankful for George to give us this story to crawl into. I love that.
Man, I'm getting emotional.
Yeah. After this, the sun is just setting as we're recording this. We can all go stand on my balcony. Yeah. But just put our leg up and we can stare at the sunset.
Oh. Yeah, it's because, like you said, it is this silly little story.
Capes and laser swords.
But they put so many themes in there that allow you to argue, allow you to discuss, allow you to debate. Mm-hmm. So it becomes deep because then you can talk about, oh, well, the kind of love between Han and Leia. Mm-hmm. Well, you could go down a romantic and say, well, is this the kind of relationship that could ever work in that environment anyway? And you could just have a whole argument about that. Or, the light and dark. Mm-hmm. And is there room for gray? When is there room for gray? So on the surface, you can be like, oh, well, this is just silly nerd stuff.
Yeah.
But when you properly place themes in films, then it gets deep.
Yeah.
And, you allow the viewer, the coder in me. You allow the viewer to kind of, I guess, take on the life of that story themselves.
Yeah.
And it's cool.
Star Wars has a great user interface to combine both your worlds.
It really does. Little astromech droid arm that just inserts and turns.
And then inserts and turns and does whatever. It's amazing. The power.
So that is our list, but out there listening to Force Center, we want you to start over the next couple days leading up to Thanksgiving or whenever you're listening to this. It could be months after. We don't care. It's always a good time to be thankful to Star Wars. Tweet us, use the hashtag Force Center, and let us know some of the things you're thankful about in Star Wars, and maybe we can all read them over a cyber turkey dinner together. We can all sit down and enjoy it there. Great list. You guys did a great job. Good stars on your homework sheets.
Oh, thank you, everyone. Too, Ken.
We'll all have a homework star next to our name.
Yeah, two sons.
Yeah, we got a little time left if we're good here. I think as we wrap up the show in the last few minutes, we got some audience questions. Joseph, as always, people can go to Twitter and follow us at Force Center Pod. Use that hashtag Force Center, or sometimes the hashtag Force Center Pod. Both work. We'll find both. And on our Facebook page as well, and then you can write us there.
Yeah, we got some great audience questions, and they run the gamut from silly laser swords and capes to deep, deep thoughts. We're going to start with a relatively deep one from Demetrius Saxonicus. Demetrius Saxonicus, which is a great name. Thanks for having me say it. At MySanther is his Twitter handle, and he asks, if it truly was Palpatine who created Anakin, was he attempting to create a Sith dynasty? That is the only way I can rationalize his perceived affection and compassion for Anakin. I love that question. It is a very deep question. I feel like a lot of what I assume he's talking about is there a great moment in Revenge of the Sith when he's picking up Anakin's charred body and has that moment where he just kind of touches him tenderly. It's the only time we ever see Palpatine do anything kind of tender, like, oh, I used the Force to make you, and now look at you. This is terrible. So the heart of the question, though, is what do you guys interpret Palpatine's intentions to be by creating not only a tool of the Sith, but also maybe a sort of a childlike figure?
That's a good question.
For me, it starts with, I'm always... You know, the rule of two when you go into that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Every time you enter that situation, it's like if I am the master and the apprentice in this situation, if I'm the master and I look at you, Jennifer, as the apprentice, in the back of my head, I know I took out my own master. So I have to assume you're doing that. So am I buying into that being the plan?
Yeah.
Almost in this weird kind of parental role. Like we, you know, you're a mother, you have a child, you know at some point you'll be gone from this world and the child will move on and carry on your name. So do you buy into that as a Sith? And I'm like, oh, Anakin, I, the Force brought you to me and you're the next to carry on my plan and my line. Or do you forget that and just, I need Vader, I need Anakin to rule the galaxy.
I need his power. Yeah. I think it is more the rule of Sith of like he is, you know, we've got some stuff like in the Tarkin book where he wants a powerful Sith ally so he can uncover more secrets of the dark side, and he wants Vader to try to overthrow him so he can be dominant, and that cycle of weird abusive power and relationship that is a Sith can be there. But I do like the idea that just like our good guys are tempted by the dark side, our bad guy can be tempted by the light side.
Yeah.
And that maybe there is a chink in his evil armor where he's like, I've got this ultimate Sith who's going to help me unlock all of the power and all the secrets. But at the same time, it's like, I kind of made him. So I have a little bit of this tender spot for him. Because like, maybe I should have just thrown him out instead of encasing him in armor when he's not as powerful anymore.
Right.
But I keep him around. So I think there's a little bit of... Jennifer, Michael, you have thoughts?
Yeah.
I always wondered if there was an idea later down the line for him to try to uncover some mystery of like conscious transference or something.
Oh yeah.
And to build a way to live forever, because it was kind of mentioned before, and I figured, you know, hey, if you made Anakin. I wonder if there was a roundabout way, maybe later on, some story that didn't ever get uncovered, that maybe we would try to raise him up to be extremely strong, and then when I'm old and weak, put my consciousness into his, and I can continue to live forever, just continue making sort of clones or sort of hosts for my... you know, ultimate Sith knowledge or something like
that. Yeah, that's absolutely an unnatural power that he could want to have.
Like. Yeah, so because, of course, when you're playing around with powers of being able to kill people, being able to bring people to life, I always wondered, like, if that was something that would come to play later on. But we never, of course, heard of that. But I always wondered if that would be something that they would play on. Like, he was there to just kind of, like, be his host for later on.
I like this theory because I envision Michael being up late, like 2 a.m, scrawling this with a pen on his wall. Is Palpatine trying to find a host body?
Doing math on a clear board.
Yeah.
Jennifer, do you have any thoughts?
I think that I go back to the rule of two as well, which is almost like you know that you're taking on this apprentice and you're going to basically sacrifice yourself for the greater cause. I don't really see him being capable of that. I think that's why I think that your theory, Michael, is so right on, because it's like he still wants to be up in the mix. He doesn't want to go anywhere, so he'll figure out a way to still kind of be present. And the notion of like him having some sort of tender feelings towards Anakin, when you become a parent, you're forced to be, you know, become selfless, and that is something that Palpatine is not capable of.
Yeah,
no. Good insight. Yeah. Good insight from a mother.
He's capable of manipulation and just, I don't know, outwitting government people.
Yeah.
Like, that's pretty much it. Yeah. Government people.
Maybe I'm reflecting on my own dysfunctional family relationships. Like, he really bugs me, but I want to have him around so I can just fight with him all the time.
That's great.
So not, maybe that's more great. Of a sibling relationship than that. Okay, so our next question is not as deep
Jake Howard says, here's a super deep question, ironically. Who has the best lightsaber hilt?
Jennifer?
I go back to when I was making lightsaber bubble wands for my daughter's birthday.
Sure.
And I realized, oh, I'm going to try and make them screen accurate to all the different hilts.
as you should.
Terrible idea.
Yeah.
Trying to cut duct tape to make it. The one that I liked because it was the easiest to make, and for me, I always go back to it, would be Luke Skywalker's, his green lightsaber.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
In Jedi. Mm-hmm. I like that one.
Yeah.
I'll jump in it because that's my answer, too.
Really?
Simple, straightforward.
Yeah.
Dooku's curved blades, Asajj Ventress's, Ahsoka Tano's. I like her white lightsabers with the her hilt that she's building herself, all that kind of stuff. Cool, great. The one that ignited my passion was that one on the sail barge.
Yes.
That was the first moment, and I'm glad that deleted scene didn't get put in the movie where he builds it. I'm glad that's the first time. You're so right about that moment, Joseph, when he looks at it. As a kid, it was like, what's going to happen? Oh, that's going to happen.
That laser's
going to come out of it.
Yeah, he's Love got Luke's. This, and it's green. Yeah, yeah. And there's so much. I mean, the Luke's lightsaber, which is now Rey's lightsaber, has so it's a great, almost aesthetically, I like that one better because I like the flow of energy that it has, just like from actual like design point of view, that there's nothing to disrupt the energy because there's no sort of cup on the emitter. But the green blade in Return of the Jedi, the fact that it looks a little bit like Obi-Wan Kenobi's,
mm-hmm.
and that lets you imagine, did Luke do that on purpose?
Right.
There's just so many different things that I always do come back to the green lightsabers being my favorite.
Absolutely.
Help. How about you, Michael?
Ahsoka's. I like how she flips it backwards and forwards.
Yeah.
She's just so agile at everything, and the way she just whips them around, the way they look. Like, even when they're not lit, they just look cool to me. Asajj for a second.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's something, hashtag don't tell my wife, there's something very sexy and evil about Asajj's voice. It's like evil sexy.
Yeah.
It's something, I don't know, it's something about her voice.
As someone who's generally attracted to goth women or suicide girls, I can understand where you're coming from.
There's some, when she talks, it's just like, do you like me or are you trying to kill me? But I like Asajj's hilts, my favorite, then Asajj's after that. I know they have the kind of like curve to it, but
yeah.
I don't know. I just think it's kind of cool. And then, of course, you know, Luke's, because it's just the standard, you know, mm-hmm. kind of like, this is your basic lightsaber that, you know, anyone should be able to trust. It's tried and true.
Yeah.
I like that answer.
Yeah. I like Palpatine's as well, too, because it's elegant. It is elegant. And I feel all the same things that you feel about Asajj Ventress's voice about Palpatine's. and I've told my wife, I find that voice sexy, so you're in for some rough pillow talk, sweetie. Sorry.
Hello, wife. Feel your anger. I'm sorry, my feet are cold.
Next question is from Sam Haval. Why do you think everyone has a theory about who Snoke is? Does he have to be someone we've seen before? Why not just be an entirely new character? Love the show. Thanks, Sam. And I think, you know, we've talked plenty about our guesses about who Snoke is, but I think Sam asks a really interesting question in that, why do we need to have a theory?
Mm-hmm. Because it's fun.
That's it. That's
a good, elegant answer.
It is fun.
It's just fun to just make up stuff like, oh, I know who he is. It's just fun.
It fuels clickbait articles and videos.
Yes,
I know it because I'm writing some of my stuff at work, too. We have a lot of Snoke theory videos. But I think that's, again, we talk about nerd culture taking over.
Yeah.
I don't know if in the 80s we would have been as enthralled with this. We would have just been like, oh, I guess the next movie we'll find out. Mm. But because Game of Thrones, Walking Dead, and all these things come around, and everything has theories, and a lot of the stuff is now put into it. I say one of the things I love about Force Awakens, despite maybe a lather, rinse, repeat plot at times, whether you agree with that or not, is that it expanded the lore and gave us things to crawl into in the more modern nerd times, Snoke being perhaps the second one behind Rey and her lineage. So I think that's why I actually am slowly coming to the point where I'm okay with if it's a new character.
Yeah.
I don't need it to be Jar Jar.
I really hope it's new because that gives us a new mystery to figure out.
Yeah.
Like, where is he from? What is this planet?
More
like,
books.
That's
you know,
right.
Like, is he special in the Force or something? Like, even like you were talking about with the Night Sisters, one thing that I loved about that is that you have this weird thing that's like sort of comparable to the Force,
right.
maybe, you know, and it's but they're also kind of like just basic witches, but they're like extremely strong.
I think they'd be very insulted if you walked into Deathmaster. You're basic
especially
witches.
Especially like that double voice lady that's like, like, what did you say? And it's like, hold up, is that a woman or is that a woman or is that the devil? Like, I don't know. But so it's like kind of comparable to the Force, but it's weird in that way. So I have to say I hope it opens a new mystery for us. Like, where's he from? How'd he get like this? Why is he so elusive? Those things.
I think the cool thing about it for me is I think fun is the right answer, but I think it is just that now we as fans, we lead the story a little bit. And I think the fascinating thing is The Force Awakens, in the way the story was told, it didn't invite a mystery. It was there was no moment where it sort of left a lingering shot inviting you to ask the question. It was just a new character in a new trilogy, and we haven't learned anything yet. So it wasn't posed as a whodunit, who is it? It was just like, here's a guy you haven't learned a lot about.
Yeah.
And we're all like, it's a mystery. Like, the film didn't say it was a mystery.
The film
never said that. We decided, because we're kind of half driving the car now.
Our own expectations as fans.
Yeah. Jennifer, what are your thoughts on it?
This is a great question, because I think about this as well. Why is everyone so, you know, concerned about who Snoke is, who Rey's parents are? But I think you're right. It's because it's fun to kind of speculate. And part of it, too, is like, I'm used to knowing everything in some sense.
That's a good point.
You know, about Star Wars. Well, me personally, but I think all of us as fans, like, we want to know what is the answer. I had some family members, so who really is Snoke? I'm like, I don't know. And that was very difficult for me to say. Like, I have some theories.
That's
but
the cool thing about the new movies is we're going into films that, like, you can't quote.
Yep.
You don't know back and forward. Mm-hmm. You can't say this is my favorite part. Mm-hmm. You can't. It's just like kind of weird because Star Wars was always something like, I know all of this.
Right.
Like, I've seen this tons of times. Yeah. I know exactly what's going to happen next. And so you're right. It is kind of like this weird place where it's like, I don't know. He's a guy that, I don't know, got in a bad fight back in the day. That's it.
But it's exciting. I'm excited to learn who he is and where he came from.
Yeah, absolutely. Our final question is from Jasper Elways. He's at 00Jules on Twitter. And he asks a very important question that I wanted to get Jennifer's input on. Mm. Who would win in a fight? I would assume 100 Ewoks or 30 Wookiees.
This is going to keep me up at night. I mean, really, I can play this out because
such a soul lander. You know the answer.
I mean, one would think the 100 Ewoks, but the Wookiees are incredibly intelligent. They're great at technology. So maybe they might use that. But as we know, who cares about technology when you're fighting against Ewoks?
Yeah.
See, there, I'm just, I don't know.
Well, I'm going back to Michael's very early at the beginning of our podcast here, talking about Thrawn. I think the Ewoks have a better manipulation game, a better mental manipulation game. Mm. I think they hide. I think they look cute. I think every once in a while, depending on which edition, they blink at you to try to charm you. And they lull you into a false sense of confidence. And I think the Wookiees would think, we got this. We're fighting 50 Ewoks, right? Like, no, 50 more are hiding. Mm. And the Wookiees would just be terrified.
Mm-hmm.
Height, too. Mm. You know, like, if you think about it, like, they could just do good around their ankles or something and tie them up. Or I don't know. I think that the height might be a factor.
Okay. If we're going head up and say we're an Endor or like a foresty planet,
right.
I take out the technology part because really the reason the Empire lost against the Ewoks is because the Ewoks were fighting a guerrilla war. They knew the land. If the Empire knew the land, they probably would have won. But I think this is a case of wolves versus dogs.
Mm-hmm.
I think Ewoks are ferocious. But wolves are just, it's a whole different game.
Mm-hmm.
They're larger, they're faster, quicker, smarter. Like, and they also have, I'm assuming, because since they're, you know, I guess, you know, animals or whatever, they have the same senses of hearing and sight and smell and all that. I think it's bloody, but I think I gotta give it to the Wookiees, man. I gotta give it to them.
Bloody. It's like a special edition of Data Bank Brawl. Yeah. I'm going simple as we wrap up here, and I'm sorry, Jennifer. 30 Wookiees would defeat 100 Ewoks.
Guys.
It would be close to in terms of sports. I know you played sports. I'm a sports guy, too. It's home field advantage. If we're on neutral ground, Ewoks, I don't think they have a chance against the brute force of 30 Wookiees. If this was 100 to 10 or 100 to 15, but 30 is a pretty big number of Wookiees.
30 isn't bad at all.
Yeah. 100 Ewoks, I'm not saying, Jennifer, it's not easy.
Yeah.
It's not a going away easy victory here, but like Michael said, gonna be bloody.
We're going into Thanksgiving, so I'm just gonna throw out one other way that the Ewoks could win.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. The Wookiees are coming from right. They've clearly got a power and strength advantage. Right.
Right.
But the Ewoks have a trick up their sleeve. They pull out a little video communication device and they throw it on the ground, and it plays like in the holiday special, video of a sexy Twi'lek dancer. I don't think it was a Twi'lek dancer. It's just a lady dancing. It's Diane Carroll, not even dressed as a Twi'lek dancing. And half the Wookiees right there just sit down to watch. They're just captivated.
It's cheap.
Very cheap.
It's a smart play, though.
It's a smart play. I'll take it.
They are, hashtag don't tell my wife, they are quite tantalizing, if you will.
Twi'leks
and Diane Carroll.
Diane Carroll still looks good.
Looks amazing.
I was like, wow. Did she like freeze herself? Yeah. Like she's sleeping cocoa butter or something? I don't know what she does, but
it's working. Well, I hope, Jasper, we answered your question there.
I think we did.
As guys,
thoroughly as we could.
This has been a great episode. It's a holiday Thanksgiving edition. We know you're thankful for Star Wars out there as well. Don't forget to tweet us at Force Center Pod at hashtag Force Center Pod or hashtag Force Center or hashtag don't tell Michael's wife a thing about this episode. And let us know what you're thankful for in Star Wars, and let us know who you would think, 100 Ewoks or 30 Wookiees, or maybe Joseph will actually finally get down to that and do that in a special
data bank brawl. Yeah.
Guys, thanks again for joining us, especially to you, Michael, joining our Force Center family here.
Yeah,
let everyone know where they can find you and all the wonderful things you do.
You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, at ThatNerdSoul, one word, or you can find me at ThatNerdSoul.com. Thursday nights on AfterBuzz, following up Blind Spot, and you can just search Nerd Soul on YouTube.
As I did after I met you on the train. I was like, who is this guy? He knows a lot. Jennifer, thank you for being here today. I'm thankful for that.
Oh, and I'm thankful for all of you guys.
Aww.
Hugs, Wookiee hugs. You can find me on all the social media sites at Jennifer Landa.
Mr. Scrimshaw?
You guys can find me on all the social media. Twitter and Instagram in particular is at Joseph Scrimshaw. You can check out my website, josephscrimshaw.com, for more information than you would ever want. You can listen to my other podcast, which is Obsessed on the Feral Audio Network. It's all about interviews with people who are super, super into things. And I've also been posting episodes of those on YouTube. So if you are the YouTube kind, if you came to this episode, check out Michael because you know him from his YouTube work. You can find me on YouTube as Joseph Scrimshaw and watch, listen to my Obsessed podcast there.
Absolutely. You can follow me at Ken Napsuck. And as always, we want to make sure you're following us on Twitter. At Force Center Pod is the Twitter handle. We are still making a drive for 1,500 followers.
That's right.
As we're trying to grow our page here, it's a place where we put out little fun nuggets and tidbits and not just promote our stuff, but all at the same time, we want you to know what we're doing. 2017 should be good for Force Center and the Force Center podcast feed. So make sure you're following us to let us know. And as always, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, as that helps us tremendously. Guys, let's go have some Ewok turkey. We'll see you next time.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter.
Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.